be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
Now let's go right to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's got an easy yoke and a light burden. Isn't that good? Now, we've been talking about this scripture for a while, but we're just going to rest there until we get completely what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us in this season. And in this time, we're putting it all together. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to rest there. We're going to wait there until we hear exactly what He's trying to say to us, until we learn exactly what He's trying to teach us. We've got all eternity to be with Jesus and to learn His ways and to understand His precepts and His principles. So we're just going to rest here. And if you would apply, I don't care what you're going through this morning, if you will apply this teaching to your life and get it deep on the inside of your spirit and work the word. Anybody know how to work the word? I mean, it means meditate on it. Don't just listen to it with your ears, but get it in your spirit and churn it. Live it out day by day and walk it out. We're walking out. Ask those that are around me, you know, I live this word out. I'm listening to what the Holy Ghost has to say. Amen. That's how we overcome. So we're going right there. So it says, look, come. First word in there is come. Look at somebody and say, come on. Come on. Come on over. I don't care what you're dealing with. Come on. Every once in a while, we need that, was it McDonald's or somebody's slogan that said, you deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's. Let me tell you what, whether you realize it or not, you need a break. You need a break. And this is what Jesus is saying to us, is listen, don't care what you're going through, you can still leave. It's not so big that you can't loose yourself and free yourself from that problem or that circumstance. See, the devil likes to wear us out with stuff. He really does. He puts it in front of your face. He won't move it, but you can get away from it. So Jesus says, come unto me. Many people don't get free from their burdens. They don't get free from their stress. They don't get free from their care. They don't get free from anxiety. They find their backs ready to snap in half from the muscles. I mean, the muscles get so tight in their back from the stress that their neck's about to stalking into their chest cavity. Just so much stress there. Because they don't know how to get away. Look at somebody and say, you've got to learn to get away. It really has to happen that way, that everyone, you've got to come apart before you come apart. But Jesus says, come unto me. You got to know where to go. I mean, you really got to know where to go. Jesus makes it, he starts out this statement, says, listen, I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what your problem is, what your circumstance is, what your situation is. Come on over here. I can handle it. Bring it this way. Jesus is in heaven right now. You might be thinking you're dealing with something all by yourself. And Jesus the whole time looking at you say, bring it this way. Bring it over here. I don't care your deadline. I don't care of anything. Bring it over here. Come unto me. Well, there was a man at the pool of Bethesda one time, right? There was a man at the pool of Bethesda. He was just waiting for the water to trouble. And Jesus was right there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can leave right now. Just come on over here. God can handle it. Somebody, you're free from that thing. Jesus broke your yoke and your bondage. He broke the chains that held you captive. And he said, look, come on, try. I can't get up. Come on. So the first thing he says, come unto me. Come unto me. You know, you can come to, and that word come unto me, it means follow me. Just follow me for a bit. People, a while back, the big thing was to join the circus when life got real bad. The circus would come through town, and they just followed the circus wherever the circus went. You know, they just wanted to be happy. Saw themselves a clown. They said, man, I'd rather be with that clown than my wife. And you know, they just wanted to be happy. It just seemed free. You know, everybody else, I'd rather walk the tightrope than deal with this mess. I mean, seriously, people used to just drop everything to follow the circus.
because their life was more of a circus anyhow, but at least this one, they had a net there. And many times people deal with things in their life, there's no net. I mean, you brother, you fall, it's all over. I mean, anybody ever been to the point to where you just wanted to join the circus? Boy, I wish I could swallow a sword. But Jesus said, look, follow me. See, there are many people that when things get rough and the road gets rough and they get blinded a little bit, there's always beckonings from all over the world. Come follow me. You know, follow the wrong one for you. Follow the ways of the world. You know, follow drug addiction. No, but Jesus said, look, follow me. Follow me. Come unto me. And that word come unto me means follow me. You can't come unto Jesus without following him. It's like, okay, Jesus says come unto me, and you think you're just going to stand there forever? Jesus is going someplace. I mean, he just didn't say come over here and just stand there and look at me. But that word come unto me, when you read it here, it says follow me. It says follow me, everybody, all of you that labor. Now, the word, isn't this the word all? That's a good word, isn't it? Come unto me, all. That's a big word. And when we look at that word all and we break that word down, it means the whole bunch of you. The whole bunch of you. Whosoever, the whole lot, leave nothing out. Jesus is saying that, look, everybody follow me. Whosoever. He's calling everybody. To as many as would come, he calls them. So your circumstances, more said, he might not be calling me this morning. But let me tell you what, there's a voice in the wilderness. You know, there's a voice in the wilderness say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, in the wilderness of your life today, and the things that you don't understand, and situations that are going crazy, there's a voice out there screaming someplace, follow me. I can get you out of this. And that's everybody. And it says, all ye who labor. Woohoo. Isn't it amazing? He said, come unto me, everybody that's laboring. The opportunity to follow Jesus, he'll take people with him and call people that know how to labor. Somebody that know how to get things done. He went out over a room when everybody's blind, everybody's lost, and says, everybody, but everybody, it didn't mean everybody in the room. Everybody that's laboring. Everybody has a mentality to get something done. He said, all you working ones, argue with that ability. You know, I don't care what you're working on. See, many of you people are working, but you're not working in the house of God. They're not mad. They're working on anything. Anybody's got some get up, follow me. Even if you're getting up in the wrong thing, even if you're missing, if you got some get up to you, if you got some go to you, follow me. And that word labor also means those of you that feel fatigued. Didn't mean that feeling fatigued and lazy is two different things. One means you've exhausted your strength, and the other one means you just don't want any. I mean, if it came your way, you wouldn't want it. Some of you are tired of being tired. But it says, those of you that feel fatigued, or those of you that work hard. It's another word that word labor means. It means to work hard. Or those of you that toil, or you're just weary. That's a powerful word. We're pressing this into the body, these words, over this season, because God has been talking to us about weariness. But those that are weary, come over here. The solution for weariness is to follow God. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Don't run away from God. Run to him. And many people, that's how the devil gets them. They feel weary and they run away from their strength. Get some help. You got to eat. So it says, come unto me, all you that work hard and are weary and you're toiling. And it says, and that those of you that are heavy laden. Anybody got some heavy burdens? I mean, you carrying a bunch of stuff. Anybody carrying a friend? Anybody carrying a relative? Anybody carrying a husband or a wife, a child or situation, a business? Anybody carrying a big debt? Come on. Listen, he's calling out to everybody that's got some responsibility, anybody that's carrying something. Anybody got something beyond yourself, heavy laden? There's a call for everybody. He said, listen, I'm not going to help you until you come this way. If you bring it over here, I'll help you with it. He says, all of you that are loaded up, heavy laden means, or burden, means you're loaded up with stuff. You're just packed down. You're the mule. A mule carrying everybody's junk over to the other side. You can't carry it forever. You can't handle it forever. That stuff is going to give sooner or later. You need to loosen your load. It means to be overburdened. Look at the word overburdened. We are not to be overburdened in anything. It even means spiritually overburdened. What? You can be spiritually overburdened. What does it mean to be spiritually overburdened? I found myself getting to the point to where I became spiritually overburdened. You know what? The Holy Ghost can take care of things. And you know what you take care of, what he leads you to take care of, and what he doesn't lead you to take care of? Guess what? It's not your problem. Anybody ever been in spirit? If I don't pray, it just won't get done. I'm going to pray as the Holy Ghost leads me to pray. Amen. I will not be spiritually overburdened. Jesus came and he would not allow God to spiritually overburden him. Did you know that? You know, he said, I've not come to everybody. I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not going to extend myself beyond my burden. What? There's a time, and God's got those people that they wanted him to minister to at that time. God had an arrangement for them later on. It'll get done. It'll get done. Jesus said, look, God's got a plan for that later on. I've figured out what God wants me to do, and that I'm going to do with all of my might and all of my ability, even spiritual things. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm not going to feel bad about it. I'm going to be obedient to God. I will not be heavy laden. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you mean that people can be spiritually overburdened? You know, I used to freak out when somebody ran into spiritual trouble. I'd be ready to have a nervous breakdown. Oh, my fault. Another one bites the dust. Oh, Lord, what do I do now? Just not praying hard enough. Man, if we were just a little bit more anointed, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Even spiritual burdens. You can't minister with a spiritual burden. You got to figure out what God told you to do and walk right on. It's not my problem, God's. And I follow the Holy Ghost. And that's not an excuse not to do nothing. And that's not an excuse to live every day with no responsibility and no mission and no call and not praying for anybody. There's some things in the Bible. If it's written in the Word, then it's your, you know, then it's your thing. Okay, that's not an excuse. No, you should be praying for somebody else other than yourself. But if you think if you don't do it, that the world is going to fall apart, you're overburdened. He holds the world in his hand, not on your back. Look at somebody and say, he's got the world in his hand, not on my back. You know, and there is no grace when you're heavy burden. I mean, they say, listen, I got this heavy burden. I got this heavy burden. I just need some help carrying this heavy burden. He said, look, bring it over here. Let me help you with that situation. See, many people want strength. You got relatives and friends and situations that you want to be. If the anointing doesn't move through you to work that thing out, it's not going to happen. Lord, just give me strength to carry this burden. No, I didn't tell you to carry the burden. Put it down. I can handle it. Many people are wearing themselves out trying to carry stuff that was never God's intention for them to carry. Give it to Jesus. You got to learn out what your burdens are. This battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And that's not shrieking from responsibility. It's standing in front of the face of God. Somebody say, I got a partner in this business. He can handle his stuff. Many people got codependent spiritual relationships with God. You're the one doing everything. You don't give him any room or any space to do anything whatsoever. I mean, you didn't pray. Well, God, move this thing, and then you go get yourself a shovel and start digging. Give it a break. You're not in this thing alone. God will come through. Many times he'll come through a whole lot sooner if you get out of the way. He said, I don't have any problem moving the burden or moving the mountain. You're the problem. You won't get out of the way. Anybody ever seen, they call the paramedics, come in and restore somebody and get somebody together, and you know, the sister's just all upset, or the relative's just all upset, and they're all in the way. You know, they're trying to restore life and try to work it out, but they're all in the way telling the paramedics what to do. First thing they say, get out of the way. Most of the time we get out of the way, help will come. And to be heavy laden. And it says, I will give you what? Rest. Now you got to understand where your rest comes from. Many people, we think this way. Well, I'm just overworked, and if I don't get away for vacation, I'll just fall apart. He didn't say, come unto Florida and I'll go unto Florida and I'll give you rest. Go on to California and I'll give you rest. Find a shady tree and I'll give you rest. You better, I mean, anybody ever try to run away? Well, I'm just going to leave away and go sit under a tree, and your problem wouldn't sit under that tree with you. You know, I'm just not going to go in. And then worse than if you had gone in. Your stuff nowhere's to find you. People are a trip. Go unto the soccer field, and I'll give you rest. Let's just get your mind off of it. No, it says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. People have slept through things. I mean, the number one thing is depression. They're resting. They can't get out of bed. They can't move. They don't make that problem go away. And it just as long as they lay in the bed, the tireder they get. Just fall asleep, and when you wake up, it'll all be better. Didn't say go to La La Land. It said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. It says, to take ease and to refresh yourself. To take ease and refresh yourself means is what this rest is. And it says, take it. Take. Grab a hold of my yoke. And see, there's an exchange going on here. You are overburdened with stuff you can't handle. And he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And let me tell you what, while you're resting, I'm going to do some stuff for you. It says, take my yoke upon you. There are some circumstances and some situations that you need to get away from and get to God. And he said, boy, if I could, he's just going to take everything. He's going to take something but give you something. And see, that's the thing with people. They want to lose their stuff and don't want to pick anything else up. He said, give me your stuff, and I'm going to give you my stuff. He said, here's an exchange. There is an exchange. It means take, in verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you. Take God's yoke. It means, you know, when you look at that word to take, it means to loose. God's got a yoke. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, Jesus is doing some stuff. And he says, loose the yoke and put it on yourself. Take up or take away the yoke. Take this yoke from me. You're about to get yoked up with God. Well, what's a yoke? A yoke is they put two ox together, and it was a thing that they would pace each other. One on one side and the other, and they would be even keeled. Both of them would have about the same muscle density. You know, they wouldn't put an ox on one side and a dachshund on the other side and have them play out on the field. Well, that's the same thing. You got to be equally yoked. Spiritually yoked, equally with folk. I mean, you ain't going to work with nobody and be able to work with anybody when you're not yoked of the same. You got to be yoked, common bond. When you go into relationships starting, you better make sure y'all are yoked. Don't, you know, somebody say, well, this is the one for me, and I can get a prayer through the other one. Don't even know now I lay me down to sleep. You got to be equally yoked. You got to pace yourself. Now, isn't this a trip? He's telling you, listen, this is a trip. I don't know how he does it. So here he said, listen, give me all your stuff, and I'll give you my stuff. I'd rather keep my stuff than pick up God's stuff. He's carrying the burden of the world on his shoulder. Huh? You know, and all I got to do is my little bitty stuff. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Studying Jesus brings rest to the soul. Take a vacation and study Jesus. What are you doing? I'm yoked to Jesus. I'm yoked to Jesus. Somebody said that's the league that I'm in. Who's your partner? It says, take my yoke upon you. It means, listen, drop your stuff and come unto me. Drop your yoke and get up yoke with me. Who can hang with God? You can. Say, come and agree with me. That's basically what he's saying. It says, come and agree with me. Bring your faith to my faith level. He says, take my yoke upon you. Not let me take your yoke, and I'm, you know, he said, take my yoke upon you. Come to my level. Come to my strength. Come to my ability. Come to my standard. Come to my pace. That's the call of God. Come on up here to this level. I'll handle it. I'll fix it so you can do it too. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. We're to learn to be like Jesus. He said, learn how I can get this thing done. Learn how I can flow this stuff. He said, listen, I got some stuff too. He said this straight up. He said, listen, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He's the Almighty God, knowing all things, but yet he is meek and lowly in heart at the same time. My Lord. Take that yoke upon you He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was basically talking about the circumstance that he was in during that period in time. He said, come, listen, he was the God that reigned supreme above all things, all creation and all things. And then all of a sudden, he has been humiliated and humbled. Do you know when I study that word, that's what it means? He says, for I have been brought down and humbled. Now, I know this sounds really crazy. One of the words says, humiliated. And I'm gentle. There's a lot of deeper meaning there than you can put out. God's got a yoke. He's got a burden. He's got something that he's carrying. He said, come and learn of me. Learn my circumstance and learn my situation. Figure out why Jesus came. That's the yoke. That's what he's talking about. Come and take my yoke upon you. Come and learn about me. Come and think about me. Stop thinking about yourself so much and you think about me for a bit. I mean, you sitting there talking about burden, and all of a sudden he starts talking about himself. It's a supernatural thing here. When I study it and I try to make it make sense, at times you just can't make it make sense. Because it's a God thing and it's beyond us. And if you'd look at this really in a crazy way, some of the things that he even says kind of confuse you, because it says, who can know the mind of God? And then Jesus sits up here and says, listen, learn of me. And the Bible says, who can know the mind of God? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And basically when you say that, learn of me, it means understand me. Understand me. Come and get acquainted with me. Put my yoke on me and you get linked up with me. Just you and I, and we're going to carry this thing. And I want you to look at me and study me and learn me and understand me. Come into relationship with me. That means you trade your burden for relationship with Jesus Christ. To know him and the power of his resurrection. What? There they go. He done jumped off the deep end. It just got too rough for him. He just stopped everything and just studying Jesus. But that's what he said. He said, take my yoke upon me. And then he starts talking about himself. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Gentle. I'm humble. And many times, we of course, we think about, he said, listen, my burden's not going to be that hard for you. You know, I'm just real gentle. I'm not like the world, real heavy and real harsh. It's deeper than that, people. Of course, it means that. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. He says, and you shall find rest for your soul. Studying Jesus, an acquaintance with Jesus, acquaintance with his call, his mission, will automatically bring soulical rest to you. Take it or leave it, that's what he said. He said, you will find. They weren't lowly. When you look at that where he says, anybody think I'm getting out there too far? Listen, he said, listen, I am meek and lowly in heart, or lowly in spirit. The heart is carnal. Lowly means I'm brought down. You're carrying your stuff, and you're carrying your burdens, and you're carrying your load. And the Bible says that his name is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And the anointing is what? That yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. If you got a heavy yoke and a burden, knowing the anointing, who is Jesus Christ, will destroy the yoke. Coming into the acquaintance with Jesus Christ and the understanding of him and the fellowship in the Spirit with him will destroy every one of your yokes. He said, listen, I am that thing which destroys your burden. It's a trip. He said, if you just find out, if you just knew what was right in front of you, I'm right there. He said, you just know me a little bit, and that thing that you're dealing with will be destroyed. Are you learning? Are you picking up? He said, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Glory to God. And you shall find rest for your soul. And that word lowly, I want to push that thing a little bit. The word lowly, if we could break that down to you discern it, but I'm going to tell you what the word means. Okay? You put religion to it, tradition to it, And you make up your own stuff when you do that. But the word lowly is interpreted from the Greek word. When they do it, it means, for I have been cast down, humbled, and of low degree and a low estate. And God confirms this when he says, listen, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who thought it not too much, even though he was way up there, to be brought down here. And you're saying, I got so much I can deal with. He said, that's why I'm here. I got so much stuff I'm dealing with. He said, that's what I'm here for. I am that thing. You just know me and you'll have some rest sooner or later. I'm the only thing that can take your yoke from you. Take my yoke upon you. Link up to me. I'm the part of you that's missing. I'm sure there are people say, I'm carrying this thing all by myself. What about me? If I just had somebody to work with me, if we just had this and we just had that, if I just had a little bit more money, if I just had another usher, if y'all would just sing a little bit louder, and we take that to Jesus, he said, listen, yoke up to me. I am your missing part. And you try to put somebody else in his place. He said, leave that little thing you got going on and pick up my yoke. I'm the other part. I'm the part of your life that's missing. Pace yourself up with me. He said, I'm your partner over here. You want to get somewhere? You want to get some stuff done? Yoke up to Jesus. He's there waiting. Take my yoke upon you. I've been brought down to do this thing. Look at me over here. I could be up in heaven doing all this other stuff and being God, even though he is God. Amen. But I've been brought down low for what? And you're still carrying burdens? Woohoo! That's what he's here for. To destroy your yoke, to destroy your burden, and to set you free and to give you rest in your soul. Yoke up to him. He's your partner. Your help's there. But somebody needs to drop some stuff off. Why is he here? For the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. To the poor, what did he say? Get Isaiah chapter 61. So you got it. He said, listen, I'm right. This is what Jesus is all about. He exists. He is your help. That's what he came down for, to help you, to yoke up so you don't have to be walking by yourself tomorrow. So you don't have to pay your bills by yourself. So you don't have to go to court by yourself. So you don't have to pastor churches by yourself. You better yoke up. Learn of me. What did he say? Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. People don't even. He said, listen, I guess he was just talking. You know, he talked in rhymes and riddles at times. And parables. And you had to get deep to understand what he was saying. You had to listen to the heart. He was basically saying, study me. I got this. He said, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and you're going through all those things, figure me out. You look at me, and I'm going to give you a clue. I was brought down here and humbled for a reason. You figure it out. When you get in fellowship with God, you know, the thing about it, you're going to learn about his heavenly throne and all this other stuff, and you get in relationship with him, sooner or later you're going to find out he's here for you. And you won't find that out until you get yoked up with him and watch what he's doing. And he's plowing. He's plowing. Get yoked up with Jesus. Why are you plowing with Jesus? He's plowing. He's plowing. He's plowing. We can be dumb sometimes. We realize that the field that he's plowing is ours. Learn of me, you're going to learn that the thing he's working toward is your stuff. You won't figure that out until you stop and take a look at it. You study that Isaiah chapter 61 for yourself. It says, for I am lowly in heart, and you shall find. Find. It said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Loose my yoke. Loose the yoke. And come, and you will find. It means, find means you will perceive. That word, I mean, you just do these things and you will suddenly perceive and you will obtain and you will see rest for your soul. That word rest is a different rest than some of the other rests that we see in the Bible. It means recreation.
You'll find recreation for your soul. You will find recreation for your soul. Now I'm going to read two scriptures for you. It said, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Take it easy. When you learn of him, this word easy means my yoke is better. Easy, gracious, kind, and good. You yoke up to this, it's going to bring you something good. You want something good to happen, yoke up to God. And he tells you that it's good. Now listen, this word rest, everybody say rest. The only way that you will truly get rest to your soul is to follow Jesus Christ with all of your heart. When you start to feel exhausted, get on your face before him. Strengthen yourself. He'll restore your strength like the eagle. Now, it says this in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. We're talking about this rest. Anybody, the devil trying to make you weary? It says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest." I mean, you're thinking sheets and pillows. But he said, "With a stammering lips and another tongue, this is the rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." When you start hearing the word of God, when you hear people preaching, all of a sudden the tongue gets to stammering and there comes out another tongue. Guess what? The word spoken, that is your rest. What do you mean? The spoken thing from the Spirit of God is the thing that you will be able to live in and relax in. For he is the word. "For with a stammering tongue," stammering lips, "and another tongue will he speak to his people." So when you hear the word go out towards you, guess what? That word going out towards you and you living and abiding in that word, it is the rest. He's throwing his rest at you. This vacation coming. There's a break on the way. There's a breakthrough on the way. There's a breakthrough on the way. "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that they would not hear." This is what's going to put your soul to rest. Hear the word. Hear the word. That's where your rest is. Anybody been stressed out, worn out, boy, ready to pull your hair out? I mean, one at a time. I mean, ready to pull your hair out? You have to pull out a tape or a CD and put it in. The spoken word will give you rest. You will poop out if you don't put the word in. The first word you need to hold on to is, "Be not weary in doing well, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, and don't be weary. And if you do get weary, go hear the word, he'll fix it." There's only one way not to be weary, and that's to hear the word. If you don't hear the word, you will be weary, period. Now, this other scripture, it ties in. Remember what we said? The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. How do you win a battle when you're weary? Look at somebody and say, "I'm going to win a battle, even though it may appear that I'm weary." That's just how God does stuff. When you feel the symptoms of weariness coming on and you're ready to poop out, don't you know you're at the end? There have been many a weary saint that God's restored and given them the battle. Because God's not going to allow you to win it in your own strength and in your own power and in your own mentality just because you pepping things went well that day. You got a breakthrough. He's going to allow you to win it by the word of God so that you know that only he did it. You can be weary and feel like giving up this morning and still win tomorrow. There have been many men that did it. There have been many people that God called them out to go to war with these big armies. And boy, they were shaking in their boots the night before and they had to get to God and hear the word. And they went out and obeyed God and won. Doesn't matter what it looks like today. It matters what God said. So you qualify for victory. You don't have to psych yourself up. You qualify for victory. You just hear the word. Anybody been there where you, I can't take no more. I can't handle no more.
I can't deal with no more. You better hear the word of the Lord. That thing that's given out ain't going, it's not what's going to get it anyhow. So don't let the devil guilt you and work you over. Now we'll learn. We'll learn in times how to walk uprightly, you know, and not to hinder our blessing. But don't get upset when the enemy comes at you and tries to discourage you and to make you weary. Get over it. Don't get depressed about it, but get over it. And say, I can still win. I realize what this is. And now we're going to find out when the Holy Ghost sent to us on Friday night, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. Whatever you are dealing with, God is trying to tell you that that is not your stuff. The court case is not yours. The bills are not yours. Amen. The problem with your kids is not yours. That finding the job situation is not yours. It'll look like it, but it's not. He says, it's mine. Because you done dropped your yoke and you've got his yoke. That's some good news and it's the truth. Watch. It ain't yours. God will fight. And I'm going to show you that in the word. What you see at Nation Church, this ain't my problem, thank God. This is not my battle, it's the Lord. And he will do it 1, 2, 3, 4 or more. He can handle it. And I believe that and stand confident in it. I am serious. Now, this is the good news. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. Do you hear me? He said, in returning and in rest shall you be saved. Not by much fighting and carrying on, not by trying to wear yourself out. He said, listen, in returning, just turning around and repenting and resting in God, will you be saved? Somebody said, I'm going to hide myself in the rest of God so I can be saved. Now you learn. We're going to learn something. It says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But these people would not. Two things you got to do. Two things that you know. I don't care how long you've had those burdens. I don't know how long you've gone through that stuff. I don't care what the situation is. The Bible says in returning and rest is your salvation. Now, first of all, you need to realize what saved means. Say Yasha. Yasha is what the word save means. Or salvation. Yasha. It's a Hebrew word meaning salvation or save. And from that word, we get the name Joshua, like Yahshua, which is also the name of Jesus. His name is Yahshua HaMashiach. His name is salvation. His name is salvation. Jesus is your salvation. And you will get that salvation by what? Rest. Which comes from hearing the word. I'm talking about getting a yoke partner. I'm talking about pulling Jesus on your scene. How many need Jesus to go to court for you? How many need some help and only Jesus can fix it? Listen, you got to call Jesus with rest. Relax yourself and he'll show up. He says, in repentance and rest shall you find. That means, save means get victory. The word Yahshua also means get victory. Get victory. So a part of the name of Jesus means get victory. Get Jesus, get victory. Get victory. So he's telling us in that same song that we heard this morning, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And in repentance, in returning, and in rest, rest yourself, you'll get the victory. Now listen, in quietness and confidence. Now that word quietness means to be still. Settle yourself down. Just be still. Don't bite your nails. Don't shake in your boots. Just be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Rest yourself in the word. Just hear the word of God and be still in it. It says, in quiet, that word quietness means be still and confidence. And that confidence means trust. Then when you're still and confident, you'll be strengthened. You'll be strengthened from power, with power from on high. Now that battle that they were talking about, I want you to read the entire verse on your own. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Read that whole thing, and I want you to apply that to your life. It was about a bunch of people that were discouraged and dismayed because they had a big battle to fight the next day, and the ones that they had to fight, there was a great multitude in front of them. It was too big for them. They had to do something that they could not do in their own strength, their own ability. And God said, don't you worry about it. Tomorrow, you're going to win. Because that battle that you're facing, it's not yours. It's the Lord's. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. I command you in the name of Jesus, don't you be afraid. Don't you become afraid. Learn this. I don't care what it is. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. That means don't lose your courage. Don't lose your courage. Don't allow the devil to steal your courage. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed by the reason of the great multitude. Don't allow big things that look like it's so big to get you afraid. Say, I'm not allowed to let big things put me to fear. See, we think justified. You know, we don't get afraid of little teeny things, but if a big thing comes, we feel justified in getting upset. Now, listen, I ain't talking about no common cold. This is a big deal here. This is a big situation. So, it ain't nothing but a thing for God. You're not allowed to be afraid of anything, of anything. God can't move in anything you're afraid of. First thing you got to do if you're going to win your battle and win your victory is not be afraid of your opponent. I don't care how big they are. I don't care if you got a slingshot and they got a bullet. You are not afraid. You are not allowed to be afraid. You are not afraid allowed to use your courage. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm ready. By reason of this great multitude. They had a great multitude. Anybody got something great out there? Anybody got some big stuff up there? Listen, I'm talking to your big problem. I'm not going for your little teeny things you think you can handle. I'm talking about the things you can't handle. That big thing that you're dealing with, you better not be afraid of it. Tomorrow, that means one time you run in your mouth. You were running your mouth because you can take it. If I had to fight David, come here. If I had to fight David, I could talk some smack. It's easy to talk smack when you're fighting little David and you're about my size. But if I had to take down somebody bigger than me, somebody rougher, I need to still have that same confidence. If I had to take down some of those wrestlers that those boys went and saw yesterday, if I had to take down the biggest wrestler that they had, I have to talk to him just like I would be talking to David. Can anybody afford a candy bar? Can anybody afford a candy bar? Do you shake in your boots when they ring up on the register when you have to pay for your candy bar? Oh, Lord, I hope I can make this. Oh, my God. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. By the time that you didn't order it at the window, but by the time that say you go up to Jack in the Box and you ordered yourself a thing of fries and you ordered it at the window and you believe it in faith that you're going to have the money to pay for it by the time they open that window. Same thing for your house payments. Don't be afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours. It is not your problem, but it is God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. That means you got to face your stuff. Show up. I ain't going. No, no, no. I'm going to pray at home, but I ain't going out there. Nope. Not me. Get up. See, people don't realize this. Listen, you're not going to fight. God's going to fight through you. But many people want God to go and they're sitting at home looking through the window. Get him, Jesus. Sha-ba-ba-ba-ha. Go, God. Hallelujah. Go, God. No, you're going to have to open up the door. Just because the battle's not yours doesn't mean you got to go. You don't go to the battle. You're going to have to be there in the battle. At least you can do is watch. Many people want God to handle their stuff, but they're not ready to stand in the middle of it and watch it. He's going to say, the battle's not yours, but you are going to get up and go to it. You are going to confront it.
The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. I'm telling you by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, face your stuff right away. Look at it in the eyes with no fear. I mean, don't wait for the deadline, Gloria. Look at it right in his face and say, I'm going to face you right now. You are not my battle. You're the Lord. Somebody say, I'm ready. I've had enough of this. Glory to God. Somebody been knocking at your door, wearing you out. Say, I've had enough. Open the door and come on out and stand in front of it. Somebody say, who is this crazy person? Anybody ever seen people at a standoff? They get to stand up, the cops all around the house, and all of a sudden they've had enough, they just come out. You got to be like that. You got to be like, you got to open the door and say, but you got to have that same kind of confidence toward the devil. When enough is enough, glory to God, open the door and step out the door with God. Don't let him trap you in. Step out there, okay? It says, the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Did not say you didn't need to go. Set yourselves and stand still. And see, many people set themselves and stand still, and they say, Lord, I'm going to see myself get tore up. But it didn't say set yourself there and stand still and watch all your stuff go up in flames. You know, just sit there and watch it. Sit there and watch it all go down right in front of your face. Set yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Didn't say it would be with you. With you. That means it's already with you, but you can't see it until you take it to battle. You don't know what you got until you put it on what it needs to be on. God is already with you. But you need to put him out on the battlefield where you can see him manifest. Put him out there where he can do something. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. God is with you, not against you. You will win. Father God, we thank you for a wonderful day today. We thank you that we are more than overcomers, than we are conquerors in Jesus Christ. Father God, I call out the Spirit of the Holy Ghost out upon them, that they rejuvenate themselves, that they receive strength and courage to face their difficulties, Father God. They are not going to run from responsibility, but they're going to face it and win in Jesus' name. Tomorrow, I'm going to battle the wind in Jesus' name. We pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you like that, just give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.